Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Scott Petrak is our buddy from the Chronicle-Telegram on BrownZone.com. Analysis, Shedeur Sanders should start next week. The man who is responsible for that headline joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. BrownZone.com from the Chronicle-Telegram. He is Scott Petrak. Hello, sir.
Scotty.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
I think we're all in agreement. Shedeur should get another look against San Francisco, but I also think before everybody gets all hot and bothered about it, I was going to say hot in a biscuit. That's Menegan's expression.
It is.
I think everybody should remember this. Who is Kevin going to tell first? Dylan Gabriel or everybody else? Correct?
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. And I don't think anybody should have been surprised by how Kevin handled it after the game yesterday. That's par for the course, and I really wouldn't have expected anything differently. But I just think it's a no-brainer. You got to stick with Shedeur. He just won the game. He played relatively well. Want to see what he does with the second straight week of practice. You know, you've seen Dylan Gabriel make 6 starts. I think you want to see more of Shedeur, so why not more now as opposed to pushing that down the road?
Agreed.
What did you like? What did you not like about Shedeur yesterday?
Well, you got to like the deep throw to Isaiah Bond. I mean, it was a big-time throw. You know, I think it was about 55 yards in the air. His feet were not on the ground. He's about to take a hit. Big-time throw. We haven't seen that from this offense this year. I like that, you know, he only took 1 sack. And the issue with him where he drifts backward, and we saw that at Colorado. We saw it in the last preseason game. We saw it against the Ravens. I didn't see that much, you know, maybe once or twice. But then even then I felt like he stopped and then figured out a way to get the ball out of his hands. So I thought only taking 1 sack was good. The interception was a bad interception. You just didn't see that guy. But overall, he protected the ball. So those are the biggest things I thought. I thought the operation was pretty smooth. Like, he didn't seem overwhelmed or overmatched, and it was certainly a significant improvement from the half that he played against the Ravens.
Scott Petrak joining us. In fairness, I threw this out earlier. I don't think that clearly Shedeur and Dylan are in a competition. You know, Bailey Zappi's in a competition. They're trying to become a starting quarterback and get everything that comes along with that. I would love to think that Browns fans don't feel that this is a competition for the fans. Let's find 1 quarterback. Let's find 2. Let's figure it out. I went back and watched some Dylan Gabriel tape this morning from when he was at Oregon. He had no problem throwing the deep ball. He had no problem throwing out of a pocket with guys in front of him and everything else. And I wonder, why didn't we see more of that from him? And then I thought, well, Tommy Rees called the plays for him for 1 half a game. Kevin did the rest. I would still like to see more of Dylan, not at the expense of Shedeur not starting this week. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair, Jeff. I think you're a little Pollyanna if you think that fans aren't going to root for one guy over another.
I think it's this. Can we just get – I'd love to have 1 quarterback. It'd be even better if we had 2 good young guys. And sure. Hopefully Dylan continues to develop a little bit, and hopefully Shedeur develops. And you have to choose eventually between the 2 guys. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. It's interesting why Gabriel hadn't had the success that he did at Oregon and the Browns were expecting. Now, certainly the circumstances around him have not been ideal. The offensive line play has not been great. the receiver play has not been great, and that was an issue with Joe Flacco. I thought it was less of an issue with Shadur, and I don't know if that's because they were playing the Raiders, but I thought the line played, it might have played its best game yesterday. You know, and he gets the one deep catch from, you know, Bond, and then he gets a big play from Dylan Sampson that the other quarterbacks haven't gotten.
Yeah, that was sweet.
In the first however many games. So, but it's interesting because you just, I haven't seen that from Gabriel. The arm strength, the ability to stand in the pocket and make throw after throw on target, we just haven't seen it. And whether that's just because he's only made six starts in the league, whether that's because the guys around him aren't good enough, or it's because the jump from college to the NFL is too much for a guy with his skill set. I mean,
right, which it could be.
Yeah. But you don't know that after six games. So I completely agree with that. And I think if he hadn't gotten the concussion, then you can make a really good argument that he deserved more time, that six starts is not enough. But with the concussion and the fact that Shadur started, I just think that changes the calculations for this organization, at least at this moment.
I agree.
I do want to – I know we would spend a million hours talking about it, sure, but I don't know how we can't talk about the defense yesterday. 10 sacks. Myles Garrett is on an epic run. Epic.
Stunning.
It's something else. It really is. You know, and you start watching – and, you know, guys go weeks without getting sacks. And I think Miles had 3 weeks early in the year where he didn't have three games in a row where he didn't have a sack, right? So this is not commonplace to be on the run he is. And every sack, you're like, oh, was that Miles? And then he finally gets one yesterday. And you're like, okay, he got one. And, like, guys go a half without getting a sack, right? Max Crosby went all game without getting a sack yesterday, yeah. I think. So, and he's one of the best in the league. So for him to do it like he's done it, and yesterday was the first, you know, the Patriots game, they were losing, and he still had the five sacks, which is remarkable. Yesterday felt like one of the first times where he could really get after the quarterback because the Raiders couldn't run the ball, and Geno was a sitting duck back there, and that's what he lives for, and then he wound up against three. And there was another play where he got off the ball so fast, and he wound up not getting a sack on it. And there's just plays like that every week. You're like, oh, my God, he's just different than everybody else. And I know we've been talking about it for 9 years that he's been here, but he's really a transcendent player. And when you hear Mark Andrews a couple weeks ago talk about he might be the best athlete in the history of the NFL to play defense, okay, Mark Andrews, that is a legitimate thought. And the fact that we're watching this guy and watching him at his peak and on this just incredible heater is really remarkable. And, you know, the only thing missing is more wins, and then they were finally able to get him and get this team one of those yesterday.
All right, I'm going to throw a big picture question at you about Miles. He has to be traded last year. They paid him. He's here. Do you think he wants to be here moving forward?
That's a great question, Jeff. I do. I think at the least is he is comfortable with being here and comfortable with reality and comfortable with his decision to take the extension when he took the extension, right? He came to the point that, hey, or the realization that I'm not going to be able to get traded. They're not going to do it. They have all the leverage. So I think he got himself mentally in a place where he said, all right, this is where I am. And the background of that is, he always wanted to be here. Like, I've talked to him so many times about wanting to bring Cleveland a championship. He just reached a frustration level at the end of last season that I think overtook him, and then I think he also got some bad advice. But I think
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
His baseline is he wanted to be here and he wanted to win championships. So I don't think it was a big begrudgingly, oh, I'm going to take the $160 million.
Yeah.
And if he really didn't want to be here, I don't think you would see him playing at the level and with the intensity and the effort that he is for a team that was 2-8 going into yesterday.
Stunningly good. He's really good.
Yeah, the other storyline, there were a couple of little storylines. Like Jerry Jeudy, what was he thinking? And it kind of makes you wonder, I don't want to wonder about his future, but I'm going to, because a play like that is one that haunts you for the rest of the season, where he ends up getting stripped from behind. And I think everyone's still trying to figure out what happened on that play.
Yeah, we watched that this morning, and obviously it's a terrible play. And Kevin Stefanski, who does not call out guys, said after the game, Jerry's too good a player to let that happen, which shows you how, I think, egregious Stefanski thought it was. I just think he lost sight of the fact that somebody could come up behind him, and that's a terrible lapse or whatever it is, right? Terrible judgment. He sees three guys in front of him. I think he's trying to be cute and either, you know, give him a fake and run out of bounds or try to run through somebody or whatever, and just completely, you know, blacked out on the fact that somebody's going to be coming behind you, because this is the NFL and you can't do that. So I don't think it was on purpose. You know, I don't think it was some kind of statement about how, you know, he's been upset or whatever it is. I just think in the moment he's like, oh, I got three guys in front of me. I'm going to do something kind of funny and or something, whatever. And it winds up costing him.
Did it ever. Does Tommy Rees get credit for Shadour doing okay? Does Kevin Stefanski, does anybody, do they need to give credit? And what did you think about the play calling?
I think
a lot of Wildcat with Quinshon. That was interesting.
Yeah, I think the whole staff deserves some credit. You know, Shadour obviously deserves some credit. And they got him ready in a week, and we talked so much about no first-team practice reps. Well, he looked pretty comfortable yesterday. And, obviously it wasn't great. He's 11 for 20, and, you know, 66 of them came on a swing pass behind the line of scrimmage. So it wasn't like he lit it up. But he looked comfortable. He was competent. They won the game. He made a couple big plays. That throw to Jeudy before the fumble was another good play by Shadour, throwing the ball down the field. So we saw examples of that, and I do think that's somewhere – I think that's a difference between Gabriel and Sanders. Is Sanders is just going to take those shots down the field, and they might come back to bite you at some point. You know, maybe he throws too many interceptions trying to do that. But given what we saw from this offense early in the season, I like that he's willing to take some shots down the field because this offense desperately needed it. But I think Tommy Rees called another solid game. And I don't think it's night and day from what Stefanski calls, but I think there has been an uptick since Rees has been doing it. In the Wildcat, I'm usually not a fan of that, but I think they've found really a good use of it near the goal line with Judkins, get an extra big body in there. And we've seen it be effective a couple of times now this season.
Scott, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Scotty.
He always wanted to be here. Like, I've talked to him so many times about wanting to bring Cleveland a championship. He just reached a frustration level at the end of last season that I think overtook him, and then I think he also got some bad advice. But I think his baseline is he wanted to be here, and he wanted to win championships. So I don't think it was a big begrudgingly, oh, I'm going to take the $160 million.
Yeah.
And if he really didn't want to be here, I don't think you would see him playing at the level and with the intensity and the effort that he is for a team that was 2-8 going into yesterday.
Oh, it's Scott Petrak with us just moments ago talking about Myles Garrett. And Myles took a while to get a sack yesterday. And Scott mentioned that. You know, Browns are getting sacks like crazy. Myles hadn't had one. And then boom, 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 got three. And that pushes his total at 18 on the season. And as Jeff just said, we mentioned earlier in the show, unofficial all-time leader for sacks in a season. Michael Strahan, T.J. Watt, 22 and a half. J.J. Watt, two behind that. There are actually, I think, nine guys who have had 20 in a season. Strahan, T.J. Watt, Jared Allen, Gastineau, Justin Houston, Chris Dolman, Reggie White, Aaron Donald, LT, and J.J. Watt.
Man, what a list.
Yeah. That's a big time list. That's
right?
It's
a Canton list.
Yeah. And Derek Thomas and DeMarcus Ware. So pass rushers earn money and get into the Hall of Fame.
Nothing wrong with that.
You think Miles is happy here?
No, I don't. I actually don't. I don't think he's thrilled. I think he's frustrated either. I mean, he's pretty much even keel in all of his press conferences, but you just.
I give him credit for speaking after every game.
Yeah.
He makes himself available. He's a straight shooter. I hope he's happy here because I want him to be one of those players, Andy, who is a one-team guy.
Well, the contract looks that way unless he just says, I'm done. You know, I don't want to play here anymore and let's move on. I mean, Baker did that, right? It's the last player we saw do that. So it's possible if he wanted to leave, it'd be up to him, though, I would think. I would think it's more on him than it would be on the organization of the team. Because, I mean, obviously, they offered him that contract.
They offered him, and they're certainly willing to pay him. There's no question about that. Brandon is in Parma Heights. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you, sir?
So I just had, like, 2 points. The first point is everybody keeps talking about Shador's screen pass. But did we forget that Dylan Gabriel overthrew Corley for the same screen pass and threw it, like, into the first row? So it's not that easy.
Okay, I'm not gonna give Shador incredible credit for throwing that pass, but he put it on the money, and Dylan certainly emailed his. He hit send, and it didn't come back.
The second thing I have is, like, when do we stop looking at Kevin Stefanski as, like, this offensive guru who's really good at evaluating quarterbacks? I mean,
I don't know anybody who is looking at him that way, Brandon. Do you?
Stefanski thought Baker Mayfield wasn't good enough to be here.
You're assuming that he made those calls, Brandon.
I don't think the assumption would have been that they thought, as an organization, that they could do better with Deshaun Watson. Let's not forget, when Deshaun said no, the Browns were ready to go back to Baker, but Baker didn't want to come back here. So, and I get it. I understand the whole it's business. So,
I mean, but at some point you have to Stefanski calling plays has only had 3 games in the last 2 years over 17 points.
Well, he didn't call the plays yesterday.
Last year, the only games we scored over 17 points was when Dorsey was calling the offense. So, like, I think everybody's overlooking Stefanski as part of the problem.
I don't think everybody is, actually, Brandon. I think Kevin's caught a lot of heat. And I think that if they don't win more games going out, then there might be a change because that's the way the NFL works, and there might be a change in the front office. And if there isn't, that might tell you all you need to know about why Deshaun Watson's here.
Fair enough. I think that there people want to apply their own theory and make it truth sometimes. And sometimes we do the same thing, I think. Although we always come out and say, well, this could or maybe, or we always have. But the problems that I have are when people just apply their own thought process with no merit and just assume it's the truth. I hate getting those conversations.
Hey, you know, bottom line is Kevin has had success here. He's also had a lack of success here. And inconsistency will sometimes get you canned in the NFL. So let's see what happens with the rest of this year and what happens in the offseason. Joe's in Parma. Hello, Joe. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
I appreciate you guys taking my call. I'm a longtime fan here. I'm actually a UPS driver, so I listen to you guys, like, all day long. But,
awesome. Thank you. You deliver, my friend. You deliver. Thank you.
Yeah,
why do you guys always park on the street, as I speak? By the way.
Yeah, explain to them why it's safer for you guys to park on the street.
Why is it safer for you guys to park on streets?
I don't know. Less traffic inside of, you know, little small parking lots can get hit by cars and things like that.
And you don't have to drive backwards, right?
Yeah, true that. Couple quick points right here, kind of to go based off of what you just said a second ago. I think Kevin Stefanski has made more bad things.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Happened than good. I'm a huge Sanders fan. I loved how he played yesterday. I think that he's not getting enough credit to the point where he should have had at least two, if not three, touchdowns yesterday. I love the play calling with Judkins in the backfield, calling the snaps. And he scored two touchdowns off of it. Do I think that Sanders could have scored those touchdowns? 100%. Again, I think Judy is a entitled crybaby who made a terrible play yesterday. I mean, it was an amazing throw. I think Sanders is the truth, though. I think that he's going to do great things, and we need to give him more time.
Fair enough. I think that's a lot of us are saying the same thing.
Thanks, Joe.
Let's see more. Let's see more.
I want to see more. I do. I also want to see more of Dylan Gabriel. I do.
But I'm okay. But, I want to see more Sanders.
But not right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had to pick one or the other to start against San Francisco, it would clearly be Shedeur Sanders, and I will be stunned.
I'll
be stunned if he doesn't.
If...
And I think it would be the wrong call, by the way.
I also think the people that are trying to rip Kevin for not playing Shedeur, the fact that he played Shedeur this week over Bailey Zappe says something, doesn't it? He could have easily gone to Bailey Zappe this week. He said, I'm going to go with a guy who's got more experience. He could have. But he didn't. So I think maybe, I again... We write what we think sometimes and may not necessarily let facts get in the way. Not that I know, but I'm just saying. I mean, that's my thought. My thought is if he really didn't like Shedeur the way that I hear some people talk about it, then Bailey Zappe would have started yesterday. I believe that.
Well, he started here before.
True.
Last game of last year. Jim's in Rocky River. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, hey, thanks, guys. Phelps, I don't understand why you want to see more of Dylan Gabriel. I mean, do you have some sort of, like, marketing agreement or, like,
I'm getting a cut, so I want him to do as much as he possibly can.
He's trying to start a men's store called Gabriel's Sister.
I'm just the radioactive 1927 equal time for Dylan Gabriel.
My only thought is this, Jim. They liked him better on draft day. So there must be some things that they like about him. I'm just not ready to throw the guy to the curb. That said, I would certainly start Shedeur on Sunday.
Yeah, and they, you know, the people that drafted Gabriel do not have, you know, a ton of credibility. So, I mean,
I would agree with that except for one thing. All I keep hearing are, boy, what a great draft by Andrew Berry. You got Mason Graham and Carson Schlesinger and Quinshon Judkins.
Every one of
Dylan Sampson and Harold Fannin.
They've all seen time and they've all probably
agreed. A blind squirrel finds a nut someday. So anyway, on to Judy. Judy.
Including Shedeur. He drafted Shedeur. Nobody else did?
No, he didn't. That was Jimmy. Jimmy hasn't made a call. Okay. Said draft.
It might have been.
It was. Let's be honest.
Jimmy gave us Deshaun and he gave us Shedeur. There you go.
Yeah, so thanks, Jimmy. Anyway, Judy should be cut, or at the very least, relegated to the practice squad. My 10-year-old son has a Judy jersey that I actually forbid him to wear until that he has a good game.
Oh, that's great parenting.
After that play,
great parenting, yes.
I went out and I burned that jersey.
Even better parenting, yes. Good job. Excellent.
You know, I only had four beers during that game. It wasn't a big deal.
Did he cry?
He didn't even notice.
Did you even show it? You didn't make him come out and watch you burn the jersey, did you?
Of course not. No, he was up at his bedroom window. He was grounded for something he did earlier. So.
Sounds like we got some parenting things going on here, Jim.
That's all I got, fellas.
All right, Jim. Thank you very much.
Keep your kids away from Jim.
Joe's in a car. Hello, Joe.
Joe!
I'm in. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll tell you what, I'm backing up that guy who just was on. Jerry Judy is the most clumsy, haphazard receiver I've ever seen. My friends were making fun of me when we acquired him after he was playing at Denver. But he is terrible. Now, he didn't get any passes in the second half, did he?
He had one reception for the entire day. I don't know. Do you know his targets off the top of your head? Back and look.
No, I don't know it off the top of my head. He had one catch for the 39 yards in the first half.
Yep.
I mean, he's comical, and I don't know why they stay with him. And Barry has had a very good draft. But there were how many seasons when he was terrible? And one of the things
you know, all those years he didn't have first-round draft picks makes it a little tough to have a good draft, too. I'm not sticking up for him, but I'm also saying when you rip away your first overall pick for three straight years, odds are you're not going to get looked at as the greatest guy to build a team through a draft.
Well, that is true. But he doesn't have a great record with receivers, and Judy is an example of that.
Three targets for Jerry Jeudy.
Three is the magic number. Thank you. Thank you.
One catch. Yeah. All right, Joe, thank you very much. Look, when the Browns traded for Jerry Jeudy, I caught grief because I said, Jerry's a solid NFL wide receiver. I made sure that I mentioned to everybody he's not a number one big-time wide receiver. Remember all the grief I took?
Yes, you did take a lot of grief.
Yeah. I'll just leave it at that.
Ah.
That's fair, isn't it?
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
At 1:30, Kevin Stefanski's press conference, where if he says anything other than Shedeur Sanders will be starting against San Francisco, I would think that I would think he might need security if he goes to the grocery store.
We need security for our phone lines, like I said, to start the show. Not good. If he does that, let's see. Give him time. I think you're right, Jeff. You're right. If for some reason Gabriel is out of the protocol, he needs to talk to him first. So I think that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's just right. It's the right thing to do. Last thing you want to do is pick up the paper and find out or search the web. Sorry, got to get with the times. Search the web to find out that you're not starting this week and the coach has already talked to the media before he's talked to you. That's not cool.
Or if you happen to be sitting here with a concussion and you're listening to Kevin's post-game press conference and you find out you're benched.
Yes.
It's not what you're looking for, is it?
Jeff, do you subscribe to the theory of you can't lose your job over injury?
No, I do not.
Okay, I don't think so either. And then I didn't realize it until, and you didn't realize it today, I always wondered why didn't Wally Pitt play so Garrett could get in? And he had a headache.
No!
A headache. That's what knocked him out.
No!
Maybe it was a concussion.
I was going to say, that might be old-timey for a concussion.
Maybe, it's possible.
That could have been, but could've, it was baseball.
Could have just...
Never know.
He might have got cracked in the head by a ball at some point too, and they were like,
let's take a couple days off. Yeah. Ooh. Sorry. I don't think we're gonna take it Lou out yet.
You know, Lou's doing okay. Let's
stick with him for a little while.
You know, he went to Columbia. He's a smart guy.
He is a smart guy.
We gotta do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Guess what yesterday was not a good day to be, along with a Raider. Or Chip Kelly.
I don't know.
Or a Philadelphia Eagle. Up 21-0, and you lost to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that doesn't go over well.
It wasn't a good day to be a former Browns quarterback.
Ah, do we have a list?
Or Andy's boy, J.J. McCarthy.
Ooh.
Oh, boy, he was not good yesterday.
Well, tongue-in-cheek
sarcasm through by calling him Andy's boy.
I have to see how he did.
He had like 87 yards passing.
Oh, yeah.
Is anyone at any point going to say, at what point am I right?
Now, see, it's not about being right.
At what
right,
point am Andy. I right?
I mean, I set him up for it by calling him his boy.
Yeah, I know.
He did.
What it is this.
That's on me. We'll get it fixed.
What it is this, if you're in Minnesota, you shouldn't have given this guy more time to develop and kept Sam Darnold for another year because you went 14-3 or whatever you did. See, there's something to be said for veterans who are winning games for you, Andy.
Yeah.
There really is. But...
Looking through his game log.
It's interesting how many...
Not very impressive.
It's interesting how former Browns quarterbacks litter the NFL right now.
And That's a very good word.
I didn't mean it in a negative way. Like, oh, it sounded like you're throwing paper around like a a studio or something.
Are we going around the league to find out how former Browns quarterbacks
no,
did?
No, I'm just
going to
point this out. We don't need Big Hoop. We don't need music.
Yes.
We don't need music.
You know, in Columbus, we used to do a thing called Buckeyes on Sunday, and then it took off. People started taking off, and we would tell people what former Buckeyes were doing in the NFL. Well, maybe today should be former Browns quarterbacks on Monday.
Well, three of them weren't good, and one of them it's precarious. Joe Flacco, who went to Cincinnati, and the Browns got a fifth for him, did get the start yesterday against the New England Patriots. And there was some thought that Joe Burrow might be the guy, because Burrow took most of the first-team reps during the week. I'm sure that really hurt Flacco.
Yeah.
And so Flacco started.
It was a big dilemma.
He was 19 of 37, so you know he's like right around 50% completion, which isn't good. 183, he didn't have Jamar Chase, because Jamar, you know, did the... And that didn't go over very well.
Yes, exactly.
One touchdown. He threw a pick six. Interception. Remember when he threw the pass against Houston in the playoffs and it was out on the flat and he never saw the guy?
Yeah.
Same thing. Huh. And a Patriot picked it off and ran it into the end zone. There was a bad shot, and it's bad for Joe because they ISO'd on him from like ground level. And Joe throws it, and you can see his body language like, And then you see him kind of hang his head as the runner in the distance goes by him into the end zone. It was not good.
Can someone explain to me how the Patriots lost to the Raiders in the beginning of the season?
I don't know. So Joe lost.
Every year, Andy, there's one game that you should have lost that you won, and one game that you should have won that you lost.
And the Packers are saying that's the Browns, right?
And the Bengals will have Joe Burrow likely at quarterback on Thanksgiving Day. So unless Burrow gets hurt again, Joe's run in Cincinnati's probably come to an end. In New York with the Jets, no more Justin Fields. Tyrod Taylor started against Baltimore. He threw for 222. He was okay, 17 of 28. 222, a touchdown, an interception, and they lost to Baltimore 23-10. I mentioned last week, Dylan Gabriel kind of looks like a left-handed version of Tyrod Taylor. Just a little bit to me. I don't know. And I say that for this reason. Right now, my thought is, they're both competent. And if one of them's my starting quarterback, I'm looking for somebody else. That's kind of the way Tyrod's career is going. You want fun?
Give me fun, Jeff. Fun.
Jameis Winston's your guy. Jameis was much like Joe. Joe was 19 of 37. Jameis was 18 of 36. So, you know, 50% of his passes. But for 366, he let it fly. They did a handoff, pitch back to the quarterback, throw it deep into the end zone. Wandell Robinson caught it. It was a big touchdown pass. Jameis threw for 366, two touchdowns, one interception. He caught a touchdown pass for 33 yards. He handed it off to Gunnar Olszewski. He avoided the rush. He looked great in the pocket. Threw it to Jameis. Jameis had to come back, make the catch, and then kind of ran over a linebacker, stepped over him, and went into the end zone for a touchdown. It was a great play by Jameis. And they lost 34-27 to Detroit. The defensive coordinator fired today by the Giants.
Did anyone else think that catch and run looked like Jameis was working in slow-mo?
Yes.
Like, it kind of looked like, you know, everybody will have a turkey bowl. Well, not everybody, but a good chunk of you will have a turkey bowl, and someone will do that, and it will be about that speed.
You know what it looked like? It looked like the beginning of an amateur wrestling match where the guys, all right, I'm with you. I'm going to try and do something here. Oh, I got loose.
Yep.
That's kind of what it looked like.
That spin move was me doing a spin move going, don't roll your ankle, don't roll your ankle.
Exactly right. Jameis can still throw it. Joe can still throw it. This is the sad news. Baker Mayfield
props
yesterday.
To him. I'm taking nothing away. It just made me laugh watching it.
Baker last night for Tampa Bay started against the Rams and late in the second quarter hurt his non-throwing shoulder. Stop me if you've heard this before. Baker was 9 of 19 for 70 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. He left the game at half. Teddy Bridgewater took over, and Baker reappeared on the sidelines with his arm in a sling.
Ouch. We've seen that before, haven't we?
Yeah, out of uniform, arm in sling. The Bucs still in playoff contention, certainly, but they've lost three straight games, and they may now have lost their quarterback. MRI today for Baker, and they'll figure out what's coming up next for him. him. But it didn't look good, and he didn't look happy.
Yeah, that kind of is going to take him out of the MVP, huh?
All, well, he's been out of it for a while. They've lost the restraint.
But if he
the
had a chance.
The first month was awesome, and then.
Yeah, it was.
Matthew Stafford, leading contender for it right now. He's been terrific. Can Myles Garrett be the MVP on a team that might not have a winning record? Probably won't have a winning record. Something to think about. But fingers crossed for Baker. Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. He's done a great job resurrecting his career in Tampa Bay. But all four of those former Browns quarterbacks losing yesterday.
Mm.
And all somewhere around 50% completion. 50% doesn't do it in today's NFL.
It does not, no.
Which is why everybody needs to keep that in mind about Shadur. Nice step yesterday.
Right.
And more growth ahead, which is great. That's what you want.
I want to see more. You want to play a fun game? I have a fun game.
I love fun games.
All right. The New York Times and The Athletic have a playoff simulator. Somebody said something about the Browns making the playoffs today.
Oh, no. Oh, you didn't, did you?
Of course I did.
Oh, no.
You ready?
No.
Here we go. I'm going to give you...
probably going to be easier to find the Ark of the Covenant for them to make the playoffs.
It's actually not that bad. Ready? Right now, the Browns are about 1% to make the playoffs. If they beat the Niners, they stay at 1%.
All right.
Higher odds, finding the Holy Grail or the Browns making the playoffs.
All right. If they beat the Niners and the Titans, guess what they move to? They don't. They stay at 1%. Then bring on the Bears week 15. That would be beating the Niners, beating the Titans, and beating the Bears. Three, and their odds stay exactly the same. Less than 1%. So now you bring on the Bills. Niners, Titans, Bears, Bills, if they win four in a row, 2%!
2%! You win four straight games and your odds increase by 1%.
That's it, according to the Athletic and New York Times. Ready? Now, Niners, Titans,
get deep Podesta Bears, on this. Those analytics can't be right.
Bills, and then the Steelers. Press that. Oh, oh, oh! 3%. If they can go on if they win yesterday, 6-game winning streak, 3% chance of making the playoffs. So then it all comes down to the last game against the Bengals. And if they win, they would have an 11% chance of making the playoffs.
Point.
And a 9% chance of hosting a wild card game. 89% chance they're out. I can do number one draft pick if you want me to do that if they lose all their games.
I really don't.
Can't have nice thing.
Really don't.
You want to play that game?
Not yet.
Just trying to help.
Not yet. Not yet, Andy.
11% chance if they can win out. 12% chance if they can win out.
Our buddy Tyvus Powell yesterday on the postgame show said
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.